This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands for the super athletic stuff, like running gear for cruising up the trail.
Woo!
And the super athlete-ish stuff, like fishing gear for chilling by the creek. Nice cast. Fitness apparel to push for higher reps. You got this. And golf balls priced so you can afford to lose one. Or a few. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
5 a.m. I'm up with a crisp Celsius energy drink. Running 12 miles today. Grab a green juice, quick change, and head to work. Meetings, workshops, one more Celsius, no slowing down. Working late, but obviously still meeting the girls for a little dancing. Celsius. Live. Fit. Go. Grab a cold, refreshing Celsius at your local retailer or locate now at Celsius.com.
Spring break isn't what it used to be. It's better. This spring, stay 3 nights and get a $50 Best Western gift card. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Visit BestWestern.com for complete terms and conditions.
This episode is brought to you by Peloton. Break through the busiest time of year with the brand new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus. Powered by Peloton IQ. With real-time guidance and endless ways to move, you can personalize your workouts and train with confidence, helping you reach your goals in less time. Let yourself run, lift, sculpt, push, and go. Explore the new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus at onepeloton.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the How to Hunt Turkey podcast. I'm your host, Jace Greer, and today I'm going to be just diving in, doing a post-mortem of my turkey season, what went well, what went not well, and everything in between. I'm going to be just breaking it all down for you guys, and really for me, just to kind of plan out what I need to be doing differently next year, because I think this right here is one of the number one exercises to do if you were unhappy with your season or if you were happy with your season. If you were happy with your season, you want to make sure you can replicate that. If you were unhappy with your season, you want to make sure that you don't replicate that. And all things in the middle. So what we're going to do is we're going to just dive in, we're going to break it down, and I'm hoping while I'm talking about my season, it'll jog your memory on yours. Now that it's, what is it, June sometime, it's time to be thinking about what you need to be doing in the off season, what you want to do next year, because if you do not think about your goals, you will not reach them. So that's the goal today. That's what we're going to do. This might not be a super long episode, but that's okay. It's going to be a super helpful episode, I think, to everybody out there. So we're gonna dive in number one. So this year, with my turkey season, it started out in a band meeting. And you might be like, what does that even mean? Well, the thing is, being in a band, you schedule when you're going to go on tours and all of those things. So the first time I thought about turkey season in earnest this year was back in probably January, somewhere around there, when we were trying to figure out our spring tour schedule. And a thought that got brought up was that we should do a tour in Louisiana from about mid-April into the end of April. And I had to say, hey, I don't want to do that because of turkey season. So I felt kind of bad to have to do that. But the thing was, I needed to make sure that I could be hunting turkeys. So step number one for any turkey season is make sure that you have some time to turkey hunt. And everybody's job is different. I know that not everybody has a flexible job, but there is a certain amount of flexibility you probably have. And if you will think ahead a little bit, you can have a lot more time than if you just wait until turkey season starts to decide if you're going hunting. But if you're waiting until turkey season starts to decide if you're going hunting, you're probably not serious enough about it to be listening to this podcast anyway. So for those of you who are listening to this podcast, I know you care a lot about turkey hunting and you want to make sure that you do it. So step one, you got to plan for it. So I was able to move our spring tour to later in the spring so that we would be home for turkey season. But I had to sacrifice. I had to sacrifice the weekends and several of the days of turkey season for other work because I had to move that tour. So I don't feel like you can always get away completely clean with having your whole turkey season. If you can, way to go. You have organized your life in a very good way. So I got the tour moved so that turkey season could actually happen. So the scheduling, I'll give myself, you know, good job on that. That worked how it needed to. That worked well. I want to make sure in the future that I schedule and just kind of think ahead with all of that stuff. So that's step one. Then just a couple weeks after that, I actually agreed to start hosting this podcast. So I was doubly excited that I had taken the time to make sure I was going to be home for turkey season. Because can you imagine starting a turkey hunting podcast and not even getting to go turkey hunting? That would be absolutely wild. Now, on to the next thing. This is kind of the first thing I think about every time I think about the off season and turkey season coming up. If you are not a good caller, you need to be practicing with your calls. So number two thing that we're diving into here, how did my calling practice go? And here's the thing. If you are a good caller, you know that you have to practice, so you practice. If you're not a good caller, you really need to practice. So no matter where you're at, you need to be practicing with your calls. So for me, I don't think I picked up my diaphragm call until probably March or April this year. It was a huge mistake on my part because I am not a good enough diaphragm caller to be doing stuff like that. Now, I know the basics, and I did call in a bird, and it was fine. And, you know, people are always going to make that argument of all you need is a few yelps and a few clucks. And yeah, a lot of times that is all you need. But I don't want to just get a turkey one out of every 10 times. I want to be able to call them in like the professionals do. And in order to do that, I need to practice with my mouth call. So something I definitely could have had room for improvement on. I do not give myself an A on the calling practice. In all reality, I think everybody who wants to be good at a mouth call should have one in their possession. First of all, you need to have one that you own. Don't wait until turkey season to buy one to then get good at it. If you don't own a mouth call and you want to learn how to use a mouth call, go buy a mouth call right now and start practicing. That is the best advice I could give, and I wish I would take it myself, and I'm going to. I have a mouth call. Now, I have not practiced since turkey season ended. I'm going to level with you guys. I have not yet done what I say that I need to do. So I am going to start practicing with my mouth call. That is going to be a key thing that needs worked on and that I am going to work on. So didn't do a good job practicing with calls. Need to do better at that. I think along with calling practice comes making sure that you can haul your calls in an efficient way. Did you have a box call this year that made noise on you every time you moved around and they weren't good turkey noises? Well, you need to think about your gear and your storage of that. Diving a little bit more into gear and storage, decoys. Now is a great time to audit. How did my decoys perform this year? Did they scare off every bird? And was that because I didn't have them set up correctly? Or was it because they're not very good decoys? Now, you guys know this. I do not have good decoys right now. So the thing about decoys is that you have to decide, are decoys going to be a permanent part of my game? Am I going to rely on these decoys? If so, you should probably get good decoys. Maybe you're thinking to yourself, hey, I want to not haul that extra weight this next year. I want to get rid of the decoy setup. Well, that's where you're going to need to be sure that you're practicing your calling. You need to think about setups. You need to think about positioning. Something that I like to do all the time, if I'm walking through the woods, maybe, you know, deer season's going to be coming up. I'm going to be out there scouting. I'm going to be out there hunting. There's no reason that while I'm deer hunting or deer scouting, I can't be thinking about, okay, if I was turkey hunting, where would I go set up? How quick could I do that? Where might a bird come in at, and how could I make that work for me? You can be thinking about this stuff all of the time. So, if you don't have good decoys and you want to get good decoys, now's a great time to find them. You can get on Facebook Marketplace and find turkey decoys for very cheap right now. So, maybe take advantage of that. It is a bummer to buy a thing for a hunting season that you're not going to use for 6-8 months. I get that, but that's where you can get stuff for pennies on the dollar if that's your game. If the whole thing that's holding you back with decoys is you don't want to spend the money, well, now is the time to buy. Maybe you just buy a hen, maybe a single feeder hen. And then maybe in a month you buy a Jake, and then in another month you buy a breeder hen, and you can kind of piecemeal it out. It all comes back to thinking ahead. So if we can think ahead with our decoy setup, we won't have to get out there with the, you know, quarter inch thick Walmart decoys anymore. I'm not trying to roast Walmart decoys. That's what I run. They're near and dear to my heart. I want you to understand that. But if you were unhappy with your decoys, now is the time to get different decoys. With that, let's think about our pack. Did your turkey vest do what you wanted it to? Did you wish you didn't have a turkey vest? Did you wish that you could just go out there with nothing but your shotgun and a mouth call, and that's it? Well, now is a great time to start thinking about that stuff, because a lot of these things that are really nice, unfortunately, have a price tag that reflects that. So if you were running a backpack, did it work how you wanted it to, or did it not really have space? I was running a new backpack this year, and I thought it was going to be the bomb, and it was not. The zippers on the side did not zip far enough down for me to actually fill my backpack like I wanted to. So that's a consideration. This backpack did not have the side straps to strap in my decoy stakes or my camera tripod. So that was a problem. And because of that, I had to keep my camera inside my bag instead of on the outside ready to go. And that was a real problem. So a little bit into the season, I switched to my old pack that was kind of falling apart because it just functioned a lot better. So you got to ask yourself, did my vest work? Did my lack of vest work? Did my backpack work? What should I have done differently with that? And man, I'll say there's something to be said for a minimalist approach. And that's something that I think I'm going to really dive into next year, because I thought a few times this year, man, I'm carrying stuff that I do not need. So that's something that's worth thinking about. So with your decoys, with your hunting pack, those two things are really hand in hand. What you're going to run for decoys has a huge bearing on what you need to run for a pack or a turkey vest. Now, I know they have those bags that you can just shove all your decoys in and just haul that. Maybe that's an option. But these are all things that you can be working out right now, and this is all gear that you can be finding for cheap right now. So now is not the time to give up on turkey season prep. Now is the time to start. If you want to get good at your calls, if you want to get your packs dialed, if you want to get decoys for cheap off of Facebook Marketplace or something, now is the time for that. Now, let's move on to the next one. So we've talked about making sure we've got a good schedule. We've talked about making sure we're good on our calling, making sure our decoys are dialed, making sure our gear is dialed and our pack is dialed. Let's talk about the most, probably one of the most important things, and that is, where are you going to hunt? Do you have a place that you can hunt? I'm talking about getting permissions. I'm talking about scouting on public land. I'm talking about checking out the farm you always hunt. Now is a great time to check that out, because pretty soon, if not already, there's going to be poults around. You're going to know, how did the hatch go here? Did it flood, and did all the nests either get washed away, or did predators come and attack them? Like, this is a time you can be gaining some seriously good intel, and I think that it's really overlooked. Now, myself, let's talk about permissions. I had permission on one piece, and I had my grandpa's farm to hunt. I did not scout any public land. I did not gain a single new permission this year. I would give myself an F in this category. It is really astonishing that I even had success and got to hunt birds, because I did not put in the time that I needed to getting permissions. I did not put in the time scouting that I needed to. And part of that was because when I was working out the schedule so that I could be home for turkey season, I was only home for turkey season. I didn't have time in advance to go get permissions. I didn't have time in advance to go and scout a lot of public land. When it came to be turkey season, I had to hit the ground running. So that's something that I need to be thinking about next year with my scheduling. So think to yourself, hey, did I get all the permissions I could have this year? Was I putting out, you know, feelers? Was I scouting out public land? Because all of these things are important things to have, because if you roll into turkey season next year and you have no new options and your old tried and true has fallen apart for whatever reason, you're going to be kicking yourself that you did not give yourself more to work with. And I know that I, for one, had that exact situation happen. You know, it worked out for me. I got a bird. That was really great. I had a lot of great hunts. I saw a lot of birds. But I did not go to new territory. And man, that's one of the most fun things in the world. Whether it's public land, whether it's a permission piece, no matter what it is, I think that's one of the most fun things ever, is trying to figure out a new place. And it helps you be a better hunter. It helps you think better. It helps you lose your preconceived notions. It is just the best thing ever. And it's absolutely absurd that I didn't do more to make sure that I did some of that this year. So low grade on that one. I could have done a lot better. And man, I'll tell you guys, now is the time to be going after permissions. Why? Well, number one, nobody is out there doing that right now. Number two, you might be getting deer hunting permission for now, and then you might see turkeys, and then you might hunt turkeys, and it can be a year-round thing. You can start out saying, hey, could I get permission to go pick blackberries? That's a thing, guys. Fruit picking permission. That might be your in. You go out, you pick the blackberries, you make some blackberry jam, you give it to the landowner. They're like, hey, when this person goes to our land, we get delicious jelly from them. Maybe that's an in. You never know. You got to think outside the box. So that's a huge thought as well. Whatever you can do to get your foot in the door, whatever you can do to start establishing a relationship with these people, because that frees you up to not have to come in and just immediately say, hey, can I turkey hunt here? And maybe they've heard it 10 times this week and they're like, no, get away from me. But maybe you can come in and you can say, hey, I'm just out here doing a little bit of scouting. I'm trying to see how the turkeys are doing this year. I want to see, you know, if any fields have poults. Would you mind if I went down and kind of walked around on your property and tried to see how the wild turkey is doing? Because I love these animals and I want to keep up with them. That's a great spot to come in, because you're not really asking them for anything. Maybe you've got a decent camera and you can take pictures of some pretty stuff. Maybe you have a drone. You can take a picture of their farm if they want. You can actually bring something to the table instead of just asking for something. You can offer something in return. And that's going to get you a lot farther down the road than just rolling in your camo on opening day and go, hey, you reckon I can get down there and hunt? That might work. But I would bet you'll have a lot more success doing it a little bit differently. So now is the time to be thinking about permissions. building up those relationships, getting plugged into your community, finding these people that have a ton of giant long beards that you can go hunt. So think ahead that way. Now, like I said, I did not do good on that this year. Need to do better next year. So let's dive in to my season on a day by day, and we'll just kind of think about how that went. So opening day of turkey season this year, I took a buddy of mine hunting, Aaron Link. You've heard him on previous podcasts. You've probably watched The Colonel and the Fox by now that he did all the music for. You're probably familiar with this whole story, so I'm not going to go into detail on stuff I've already covered, but I decided, hey, I want to take a new hunter with me on opening day, and I want him to experience that. And honestly, that was probably the most fun, most rewarding hunt that I got to do this year, even above the one where I got my bird, because I was able to show somebody else this thing that I really loved. I was able to slow down, be in nature, got to see deer in velvet, just little nubs, but velvet all the same. Got to find mushrooms, got to see gigantic long-nosed gar down in the creek. It was just awesome. Thinking back to opening day, there's a few things I would have done differently. We tried to roost a bird the night before. We did not find any turkeys the night before looking around. Now that right there is a classic example of I should have been getting more permissions and scouting more. Because we kind of had one option, and it didn't pan out for us. Right at last light, I heard a single hen up in a tree, and I said, this is the best that we've got. We rolled in the next morning. Someone was already parked there. On this permission piece, someone else has permission to hunt, and I forget about that. And so maybe we could have gotten in there earlier, and maybe we would have been the ones already in there. But regardless, it didn't go our way. We then tried to move around. We heard a gobble. We got as close as I thought we could to him and then set up and then tried to call. And I think that was a mistake because that bird was firing off and we did not even try to call to that bird for probably 30 minutes because we moved positions. I should have tried my best to get that bird interested and coming towards me first. I think that is what I should have done. You never want to get caught with your pants down with a bird when you're not quite ready. But the thing is, sometimes if you don't tell that bird to come your way, he's not going to come your way. And by the time you're set up all perfect and all cushy and completely hidden and the decoys out and all of that, sometimes you miss your window. And so I wish I would have been a little bit more on it. And I would have more aggressively tried to call that bird in because it was opening day. That's a great day for aggressive tactics in my book. So that's something I wish I would have done differently. Try to get eyes on that bird. Try to get response from that bird. Try to do something besides just move immediately like I knew where he was going to be. Because I didn't know where he was going or why. And that's another thing I realized this year with my grandpa's farm. The way that the fields were farmed has been different this year than it's ever been before, and better for turkeys, I think. So the way that the birds were used in this farm was different than I really knew. So I definitely should have taken a little bit more of a beginner's mindset there instead of just assuming they're going to go to this one spot that I've ever seen them. They might be somewhere different. So should have been a little more proactive on that. Let's see, day two. I went out by myself. I slept in that morning. Now, I don't know if that was a pro or if that was a con, but I know for myself, I do not think as well if I don't get at least some decent sleep. So I had to make that decision. Let's get some sleep and let's come in there with a clear mind. So I come in kind of for those second shift birds. I'm getting in there at 8:30, 9 o'clock, something like that. I've got, you know, all day to hunt, and I thought I would hunt all day, you know, try it out, see what it's like. I did not end up doing that. I never even did that this year. You know, it's the first year that that's even a thing here in Missouri, and people have mixed feelings on it. I never really hunted past 1 p.m. this year, just because I'm so used to scheduling my life where, okay, I'll go do this morning hunt, then I'll do all my work in the afternoon, and I'm fortunate enough to be able to do that. So I rolled in kind of mid-morning. Got down in a spot where I had good vantage, and I saw there was a lone longbeard heading to the creek on the neighbors. And I thought, hey, maybe I can call him in. So now this is, here's an interesting thing for you. Day one, I thought that I wasn't being aggressive enough with my calling and I was taking too long to get set up before I call. So I decide, hey, here he is. He's moving. I'm going to call right away. So I hit him with the yelps. I hit him with just, you know, just aggressive, just hitting him. Well, sure enough, he sees me and he starts coming towards me. Now, it was really windy, so I really wasn't sure how much he was hearing and I was calling a lot. Well, I put the binoculars down. Binoculars? What in the world? I put the binoculars down and I look up and there are like 7 turkeys standing there staring at me, probably 100 yards away. And I was kind of hidden, but I was not hidden well enough to get away with that kind of movement. I had not thought that there would be any turkeys any closer than him. I made the mistake of thinking he's the only turkey in the world, and I'm just going to call to him because I can see him and he can come right in, and he was far enough away I wasn't worried about it. Well, it turned out to be a flock of jakes, and they got kind of weird about everything, and they kind of bumped around a little and moved off. But I knew that gobbler had not seen me, so I was like, there's still hope. So I got a little more tucked in, got a little bit more hidden, and I kept calling at that gobbler. And sure enough, he starts coming in. And he gets within probably 100 yards, at least as close as those jakes were. And I just don't think I was hidden well enough and I was moving too much. Because all of a sudden, instead of coming right in, he turns and goes down to the creek. And I never see him again. So I think, you know, on the one hand, I didn't call soon enough on opening day. Took too much time getting set up. Now on the second day, I called too much too fast without knowing my surroundings or having a good hide. So that's one great thing about hunting is you can be wrong both ways on consecutive days. It's not always that if I would have done this, then I would have had success. And I think that's something that we as hunters do a lot of times. We go out there, we have a failed hunt, and we think to ourselves, oh, if I would have just done this, it would have worked great. You don't know that. You don't actually know what could have happened because you are dealing with a set of circumstances that has already transpired. I think about it all the time. You think back to your past hunts. Oh, if I would have done this, then it would have worked perfectly. Maybe not. Maybe you would have messed up by not being well hidden enough and spooked the bird that way. But you learn. Everything you do is a learning experience. So next hunt, took another buddy with me who had never been turkey hunting before. And we saw a single hen and that was it. It was a very tough hunt. Hot, really hot. Not a lot of gobbling. We got out there kind of late because he had a bit of a drive and I didn't want to make him wake up super, super early. In hindsight now, I kind of wish that I would have. I kind of wish that maybe we would have done a little bit more blind calling maybe, or maybe moved around a little less because we kind of got out there and just death marched for like 3 hours and then went home. And I don't think that that was maybe the world's best strategy either. But at the same time, he had fun. You can't get him every day. It takes time and it takes effort. And, you know, if your buddy can only show up and hunt a couple hours, you got to just be honest about, hey, it might not go incredible. This might not be the best hunt that you've ever been on. And that's okay, right? It's not our responsibility to make sure things always go perfect because I don't think that perfect hunts are what get people hooked on hunting. For me, it's those near misses. It's those almost. Now, all that granted, I wish he would have seen more turkeys, but he said, hey, we saw a turkey. He had fun. He'll go again in the future. And this all goes back to having more permission pieces and spots on public land because we went and checked my couple of spots and we were out of spots to even check. And I was kind of out of time. So if I would have done a little bit better scheduling and had more options, maybe we could have had a better hunt. But at the same time, sometimes the birds are just not where you want them to be. So that's kind of how that happened that day. So fast forward a couple days, I was able to get out there again. It had dropped 10 to 15 degrees. I got out there at daylight and the birds were gobbling like crazy on the roost. It was everything that you want finally coming together. And I'm out there by myself. No one else is there, which I both love and kind of wish somebody else would have been there, because I'm trying to take people hunting. I'm trying to be generous with turkey season, because I think turkey hunting is one of the few kinds of hunting, definitely the few kinds of hunting that I do, where you can have more teamwork. You can have people there and it's additive instead of subtractive sometimes. So I'm hearing all these birds gobble. And I decide, hey, I'm going to go as close as I can to where I'm hearing these gobbles, because they're not on my place. And I'm going to set up my decoys and I'm going to sit there and call for an hour and a half or maybe 2 hours, and hopefully something will come in. And I think that's an okay strategy. I think that I committed too soon, because I called and I heard those birds come off the roost. I heard them work a field. I heard them move into another field. I heard a hen come around behind me. Heard a bunch of gobbles, and I never made a move. I sat there and called and called and sat and called and called and sat and sat and called, and just nothing came through. And I was sitting at a spot where I've seen turkeys lots of times. I've seen them strut. I've had lots of close encounters, and they just weren't there for that day. And I think that's where I probably should have been a little less rigid in my setup. Just go in and set up. I should have not done that. I should have got as close as I could to those birds, and I should have stayed mobile and I should have stayed watching, because then maybe I could have seen what field they were in. I maybe could have set up closer and got it to work out a little bit earlier, or maybe a little bit better. Now, like I was saying earlier, we don't know that. I could have actually screwed the whole thing up just as easily. So I then decided to go mobile. I'm going to move around. Now, all the time I'm thinking in my head, I can't believe this. I've messed this whole situation up. I'm never going to see a turkey. I've waited too long. And I told this story on a previous podcast, the podcast with Paul Campbell. Told the story of this bird. So you already know it probably. But if not, long story short, I end up walking into this field, not really paying enough attention. I come around a corner. There's a turkey at 40 yards, fully strutted out, facing away from me. I'm able to get into the woods, get hidden. The hen comes out. She kind of sees me. I'm not hidden well enough. She kind of busts off. He follows her. I get up to where I last saw him. I give a few calls. He responds. I run back, set out a decoy, set up the camera. He comes in, and I was able to get him killed on camera, but I did not have the camera in focus because I zoomed in at the last minute, and that's just life sometimes. I'd rather get the bird than get the footage, but I'd really rather get both, because that is a lot of fun. It's a challenge, but I can go back and look at exactly what that bird was doing right before I shot him. I can see his mannerisms. I can see how he responded to my calls. And it's not only a great memory, but it's a great learning tool. So I'll dive into a little bit of video post-mortem here. Things I wish I would have been doing with my camera set up differently. Now, got the bird. It wasn't the prettiest hunt, but I called him in after I thought I had blown it, and everything worked out. And honestly, I was pretty happy with the way I was able to take a situation that I almost completely bungled, and I was able to get a turkey out of it. It felt incredible. I was so happy. Still super happy about that hunt. It was a lot of fun. And, you know, in hindsight, I wouldn't have had it happen any faster or any different. But you always go back and think about what you could have done differently. So my problem with the camera, what I ended up doing, I set up to be really well hidden. I had just kind of spooked that hen, and I thought to myself, I will be doggone if I let that happen again. So I had my camera there in somewhat easy access. My camera is not the world's best setup for one-handed shooting. I find that its autofocus never really does what I need it to, so a lot of times I'm running manual, and it does add a lot of challenge and a lot of stress, but I find that it's worth it to an extent. So what I try to do is have the shot all set up ahead of time, hit record, and then just hunt and not have to think about it. But the way that this whole thing worked out, the bird never really went where I needed him to. He never walked into my beautiful opening, so I had to move the camera to get on him. And luckily I had enough cover to do so. But then I zoomed in on him, and that pulled my camera out of focus, and the footage is blurry. Now, there's a piece of grass right in front of this bird that is in unbelievable focus. I mean, it is the sharpest, best-looking footage of grass you've ever seen. And there's a blurry turkey in the background. That'd be a great shirt, blurry turkey. Anyways, that's a side tangent. So I was not necessarily disappointed with how that worked. I should have known that, though. I know that if you zoom in with that camera, you have to refocus it. And in the heat of the moment, I was not thinking about the camera. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. It's okay. It's not like I'm working for Meat Eater or something. It's not a big deal. It doesn't really hurt anybody. I just wish I had better footage for the memory. So that's something I should have worked on. Another thing video-wise that I wish that I would just go ahead and do is get either a 360 camera or a decent action camera, some sort of GoPro or something. Something that I can just have on all the time that takes a wide shot and it always just focuses the entire field. And you don't have to worry about, you know, if your main camera shot is a little bit off, well, maybe one of these others catches it a little bit better. So I would like to do that. But, you know, as it all boils down to how much do you want to spend on video equipment that you're going to have in front of your shotgun? You know, maybe you don't want to invest that much, and you never do. You never have to invest more than you can on turkey hunting generally. I mean, you need a tag. Let's be legal, people. We need a turkey hunting tag, and you need a shotgun and at least one shell. That's kind of all you have to have. All this stuff is just extras. But once again, if you wish that you would get into videoing your hunts, or you wish you had different cameras, now is the time to get those. Again, if you have time and you have cash, you can get things for incredible deals if you'll just be a little bit patient about it. Maybe the right camera comes on to Craigslist or Marketplace. I know I talk about this all the time, but I think my favorite pastime is scrolling on Facebook Marketplace and trying to find a deal. But now is the time you can do that stuff. You can get out there and you can practice. You can get out in your front yard and set up in your camo and try to get video of a bird without spooking it. Birds can see really good, kind of like turkeys. And maybe you can practice that. Now, maybe everyone will call you insane. They probably will. But I can guarantee you that a serious turkey hunter is not going to think you're that crazy for practicing that kind of stuff. So you have to think about not who is going to judge you, but who's out there doing what you want to be doing. And would they think it's crazy? I don't think they would. I have a buddy who really wants to kill a big buck. And he says that his whole family thinks he's crazy and all this stuff. And I said, I'll tell you what, nobody that's killed a big buck thinks you're crazy. Because if you want to kill a big buck, you have to put the time in. And if you want to get good video, and if you want to get turkeys, you have to put that time in. So that's something I need to do more of, is I need to practice my wildlife photography some more. I practice it a lot, and I'm still just not that good at it. So, and that's where maybe a consideration should be thinking about what camera is going to make this the easiest for me. I know that the hunting public, Greg Clemens, has a video on what he uses to film his hunt and how he's got like a handle control. He can run his whole camera one-handed, focus, zoom, all of that stuff. I think that I wish I would have gone back in time and got a setup like that instead of the one that I do have, because it's just not very handy to try and self-film with it. So go check that video out if you're getting into self-filming. Also, I would love to have him on the podcast and do a whole episode about that, but he is not on social media that much, so I haven't been able to get to him yet, but hopefully in the future we can make that happen. So that's kind of where I'm at with my video stuff. I would give it probably like a D minus. Like, it's not a good grade, but it got the job done. You know, I didn't fail, but I'm not bragging about this one. No, my parents aren't taking me out to ice cream from that footage. That's for sure. So that's kind of where that goes. And I mean, overall how I hunted this season, I think I did pretty good with what I had. I mean, I got a turkey, right? I mean, you can always get lucky, but I definitely did have to work for that bird. And it was early enough in the season. If I really needed to, I could have done a lot more hunting. And you know, I'm always torn. I'm always torn with an early tag out because you don't learn as much as when you have to hunt every day of season, but you can actually get other things done, like plant your garden or see your family or, you know, have a coherent thought because you're running on more than 3 hours of sleep. So there are pros and cons to everything. And, you know, in Missouri, we can shoot two turkeys, but I just decided to cap it off at one because the numbers are just not where I wanted it to be. And so a thing that I kind of made for myself this year, I thought, hey, if I'm going to shoot both birds, they can't be on the same property. So that was going to be my incentive to really get out there and scout and to find more places. But by the time I had tagged out, it was close enough to the end of season and we had enough stuff going on that I wasn't really able to do that. So this is another great incentive. Like, this is why you need to be scouting now if you can. This is why you need to be getting permissions now if you can, because you don't know what's going to be happening in turkey season. So that's something to think about. Which really brings me to my next point. Turkey season is not long enough for me. Now, I'm not saying that Missouri should lengthen their turkey season. I don't think they should do that at all. I think that it's a set time and I think that it's good and it's made with, you know, it's made with, what is the word I'm even looking for? I guess conservation in mind. What I'm saying is I need to find a way to lengthen my season. This similar thing happened to me when I used to only be a gun hunter for deer. I thought to myself, I need a way to expand my season. So I took up bow hunting and I was able to expand my deer season by nearly 3 months, which is incredible. You can't do that with turkeys in Missouri. There is no designated bow season that's 3 months long, and that's kind of ridiculous. That's too long to be able to hunt turkeys. But other states have turkey seasons. So I am planning with my friends. I'm talking about it at least once a week. You've heard it on the podcast. I think I've mentioned it every podcast since turkey season was over for me. I am planning on doing an out-of-state hunt next year. Now, if you're wanting to do an out-of-state hunt next year, you better start planning and you better start saving that gas money because Lord knows it ain't cheap and Lord knows them tags ain't cheap either. So if you start thinking now, if you start budgeting even, if you start just planning ahead, you can put yourself in a good situation for that. So things to research when planning for a future hunt. I want to do a whole episode on this because I am not an expert by any means, but you need to think about logistics. It kind of reminds me of being on tour, right? I've spent my entire life traveling the country and doing stuff in other states. I've done a lot of fishing out of state. A lot of years I'll buy fishing licenses in like 8 or 10 states and Canada as well. So I'm no stranger to out of state activities. So you need to be thinking about, okay, how are we getting there? Whose truck are we taking? How much gas is that going to take? Round trip. Don't forget, folks, you better plan for round trip because ideally you're going to come home. So not only the way out there, but the way back. Okay, are we going to be eating out or are we going to be meal prepping ahead of time and taking a cooler? If we're doing that, do we need ice? These are all thoughts. Are we bringing cameras? Are we, you know, where are we going? Where are we staying? Are we going to camp? Are we going to hotel it? That's an expense. So you get all your expenses written down. You list out all your gear that you wished you had and didn't have this year. That's a big thing. Even if you're not planning an out-of-state hunt, I keep a running list at the end of every season and I write down, hey, the pack didn't work this year. I need to get a new pack before next year. Hey, the decoys didn't work. Need new decoys. Need new Malcolm. Whatever it is. Because you will not remember. You think you'll remember? You will not. And then it's like the day before turkey season and you're looking for your call and you realize it's in like 5 pieces. And you think to yourself, ah, I've made a huge mistake. It can also happen with fishing. Sometimes you get out there to go fishing and you'll realize that your plug for your boat broke on your last trip and you forgot to get a new one. But that's a different story for a different time. So that's planning for the future. I'm hoping to do an out-of-state hunt. That's a big deal. So to wrap up here, I want to leave you guys with this. Do what needs done for next year. I know it's hard to be in turkey mode right now for some of us. I can feel the deer season trying to pull my attention away. But if you can stay locked in a little bit more, That's going to be key. I was just talking to someone on Instagram the other day about how I think the off season is the best time to learn and improve, because when you're out there turkey hunting, that's the show, that's the gig, that's the performance. You got to be ready. Now is the time to practice. Now is the time to prepare. Now's the time to get those permissions, to scout those spots, buy those decoys if you need them, get that call. Or maybe you want to challenge yourself and say no thank you to consumerism and say, hey, I'm going to try and spend just the price of my tag next year on turkey season. Hey, go for it. Do what you need to do so that your next turkey season is a great one. So, man, thank you guys so much for listening. I hope that this has been helpful for you, this little postmortem about the season. I hope that it's jogged your memory some. I know it's jogged my memory, and it's definitely got me thinking I need to be doing some stuff differently. So, thank you guys so much for listening. If you can leave me a 5-star review, that helps me out a ton. I would really appreciate it if you would do that. I like to think that I have more than 12 listeners on Spotify, but I do only have 12 reviews on Spotify. So this is your sign. I'm talking to you. Like, yes, you, the one listening, not the other one, just you. If you would leave me a review, it would change everything. I don't actually know that. I'm not sure what they do, but I've heard they're good. So if you can, leave me a review. Give me a follow on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, whatever your preference is. I don't really have a lot of video content on Facebook because they won't show it to anyone, but on Instagram and TikTok, more so on Instagram, that's where you're going to find most of the stuff, because TikTok is just looking for excuses to completely squelch all hunting content. But I do still get some stuff snuck past their algorithms, so check that stuff out, give me a follow, and you know, even if you can just check out those clips, I post clips from the episodes with just anything that stood out to me as a really good tip. So that's a great way to keep learning in this off season and to not completely forget about turkey season and then wish you would have learned more next year. So check me out on social media. I have a Gmail account, howtohuntturkey@gmail.com. If you want to send me an email, you can also direct message me on any of the social media platforms. But thank you guys so much for listening, and take somebody hunting with you.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.